everyone. Welcome to Shattering the Silence podcast, a space where we reveal the untold stories of athletes and explore the often hidden mental health challenges within the world of sports. I'm your host, Audrey Tamburello, a former collegiate athlete and now senior journalism student at Boston University. Today, I'm honored to be joined by our guest, Jenna Ling, a remarkable senior soccer player at DePaul University and a four-time awardee of the Big East All-Academic Team. Together, we'll dive into Jenna's journey navigating the complexities of mental health during challenges such as COVID-19 and injuries. Without further ado, welcome, Jenna.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Audrey.
Yes, of course. Thank you again for taking the time to share your story with us. And I'm so excited to have you on my podcast. So just to get started, can you please start by sharing a little bit more about yourself as well as your soccer journey? And then like when you first became aware of the intersection between mental health and sports in your life?
Yeah, so I started playing soccer from a very, very young age. I think I was in, I want to say probably like second grade. I did gymnastics and soccer at the same time. And then once I hit around fifth grade, I had to choose because if I wanted to do club, I couldn't keep doing gymnastics. So I chose soccer. And both my sisters were collegiate athletes. So as I grew up, I kind of knew a bit about, you know, the world of collegiate athletics and how cool it was, and watching them do it, it just felt like, I don't know, like all of these people were like famous to me. So yeah, I think from that point, it was something I like really wanted to work towards, just seeing them doing it, which kind of going into that second part of that question there, I really wanted to go to a Big Ten school, specifically the one that they went to. And you know, putting that much pressure on yourself every single game that coach is there, I think that was really when I started, like, recruiting was a huge time for when I realized just the pressure and how that affects your mental health, specifically anxiety. I think it was something through the recruiting process that I struggled with a lot. I was super hard on myself, thinking that, you know, my performance can then decide whether I'm going to the school or not going to the school, because soccer was just a deal breaker for me.
That's awesome. When did you start your recruiting journey?
So this was before the new recruiting laws, you know, now you're only allowed to start junior year, like winter of junior year. They can start contacting you junior year, but winter is the time when like you can actually start recruiting, I'm pretty sure at least. And then I went to my first identification camp, which is basically where a bunch of athletes who are all girl athletes, girl soccer players, all go to a school and pay a lot of money to perform in front of the coaches for a very long time period. Most times it's a day, sometimes it's 2 days. Some would last like up to like 4 or 5 hours. There were some breaks, don't get me wrong, but they were long days.
Totally. Yeah, I feel like I obviously can relate with you on those long days. And obviously I can relate with you on the DePaul University experience. And kind of transitioning into your DePaul University experience, what were some challenging times that you faced on and off the soccer field that you had to overcome, whether that was injuries, COVID-19, anything else that you would want to touch on?
I think freshman year, as you know, was a very challenging time. You know, we were in a dorm room by ourselves. We had our own bathroom, which in turn seems wonderful, but you didn't really get to know people that much. And before, after practice, all the time, you were just by yourself. Once you were done with the team, you were by yourself. For us, they had the dome closest to us closed, so we had to drive about an hour and a half outside the city in the middle of winter just to be able to practice, which was even more isolating, I would say. And freshman year, like, I was just had this ongoing calf strain, and I was just like absolutely ridden with anxiety all day. I couldn't leave anything on the field. It was just kind of a constant that I couldn't get over, and I think COVID only made it that much worse, especially when you can't really get to know your like older teammates, so they just kind of seem like these people that are just there, that you're constantly trying to impress, and you know, because you think that impressing them leads to a relationship with them, which isn't true, but that's just, you know, how you think. And then coming up to my sophomore year, I retore my ACL. I already did it sophomore year of high school. Weirdly enough, I think it was a little bit of alleviating stress at the time. For the rest of that year, obviously once you got past the devastation, but for the rest of that year and through my junior year fall season, I did kind of use it as like a mental break. I kind of allowed myself to like disassociate from it, and then I kind of realized like what a healthy outlook on it can be like, just to allow myself, you know, a chance to see the other side of it. So as, you know, terrible as that was sometimes, I think I tried to look at the bright side. And then that sophomore year injury, pretty much, I was injured through all of junior year, which that was, junior year season was okay because I was pretty far from being back. But once it came into end of junior year, beginning of senior year season, because I knew I didn't want to take a fifth year, I think at that point it got to be very, very challenging for me.
How would, like, in what ways was it challenging your senior year?
You know, when I think when you go into college athletics, you have a very clear idea of what you want it to look like, especially seeing, you know, big money sports like football, basketball, hockey, even like the glory that, you know, that the how all of them act around campus. I think going into my senior year, I just really wanted to change the fact that, you know, I hadn't really stepped on the field yet. And you know, coming back from an injury and looking at the time clock of when my season's ending and how little time I have left in the sport, not only did I have to focus on healing, but I had to focus on constantly getting fitter and better because, you know, once I was technically done healing and passing a beep test, to like clear myself fully again, you know, then it was like, okay, well, now I only have such little time to be able to prove myself in hopes that, you know, that'll put me on the field. And I did not pass my first beep test and I had to do it again. So, you know, like the pressures of that and just the constant in the back of your head was really hard.
What were you telling yourself in the back of your head? Like what were you trying to say to keep yourself motivated, obviously, despite having these obstacles that you were trying to overcome?
Honestly, it got to a point where like I did have to keep reminding myself, you know, like leave it on the field. Like I tried to do stuff like that, but I kind of realized that it just wasn't the way it was. And so then like I just, it's so sad. But pretty much every day I did have to keep saying, you know, like one day closer. I kept trying to tell myself to try and think that these problems were like much smaller than they seem in college athletics, by just reminding myself, you know what, in a year, this isn't gonna matter at all. I really do think that, like, my senior year, that is like what got me through.
I mean, yeah, it's impressive that obviously you kept telling yourself that over and over, and like obviously you knew like one day was always closer to the like very last time that you would step on the field, which is also just crazy to think about the fact that you're done now. But I was wondering, what kind of were some of the best practices to helping you with your mental health? Like, did you end up like seeing someone? Did you focus on like another hobby? Like, what did you do personally?
I think freshman year, kind of reeling it back a little bit. Once it got really, really bad, and my mom had, you know, told me like, listen, you can't keep doing this to yourself. Like, you know, like either you need to think about like if this is really what you want, or you need to help yourself. So I ended up seeing a sports psychologist through my sisters who had also gone through similar things and also used a sports psychologist. So I saw the same one they did, and she was wonderful, like helped the way I thought about things like extremely so, which just helped even my relationships with the team, which then helped, how I felt the day to day so much more, because I kept thinking that, proving myself on the field meant that doing well on the field meant that people were going to think that, they want to be friends with me, which is not the truth. But when you're a freshman in COVID, once I kind of let go of some of that with the sports psychologist and stopped thinking about the fact that everyone was thinking about me, is just, it was honestly amazing.
That's awesome. And obviously, super admirable that you got help, and you decided to reach out for help, because I feel like a lot of the time there's the stigma around not wanting to get help, like seeing yourself as like weak if you do. I obviously had the same experience where that I also got a therapist during that time as well, just because again it was very isolating, especially being that we both came into college, well, we graduated high school in 2020 and started in 2020, which was crazy. And so with that, I was kind of wondering, at the lowest point of your mental health in soccer, what were the emotions that you were feeling? And how did this transfer into your day-to-day life?
Freshman year and a little bit this season, actually, it kind of becomes this thing where it's just like everywhere, all consuming. Like it's this thing where, you feel like I really shouldn't be here. I don't feel like I should be here. Like I feel like there's clear reason to why so many people are in a spot that I'm not. Kind of feeling that like everything you've done up to that point, kind of discounting yourself for everything you've gone through. I went through an injury, I worked really hard, I was very resilient, very determined to try and get to a spot where some people would just decide, this is the second time, I'm done. And I think like that was the hardest part, was just like how you just immediately are like, no, like all of that means nothing. I can't believe like things are the way that they are. Like, I don't deserve to be here. Like, I don't work hard enough. I need to do this, 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 and this in order to get me to where I need to be. It's kind of a thing where you just like, you kind of lose yourself a little bit.
Totally. I feel like, I mean, obviously, when you had that second injury, was there any point in time where you were like, oh yeah, I should quit, I think I'm going to quit? Or were you in the mindset of no, I'm going through with this, I made it here, obviously it's just another barrier to jump over. But kind of what was your thought process with that?
Yeah, so my sophomore year, because that seems like forever ago now, when it happened, that was never anything that see when. So with ACL surgeries especially, the time that people come back has gotten longer because people have so you're already at a disadvantage and you already know that that's something that could happen. And I think sophomore year when it happened, I was just grateful that I got to the point that I did, without doing it again. But I never would have thought that, it was gonna stretch for so long. So junior year, junior year fall, I was like, okay. Junior year winter, I was like, okay, we're finally getting to like a transition phase. And then junior year spring, I was still not cleared for contact. And I think that was to a point where I realized, like, wow, like senior season is not gonna look like I want it to. And then going into the summer and going into, senior season, I think I had a conversation with one of my friends who brought up, a friend who medically retired because she had too many concussions. She was like, oh, have you ever thought about doing this? And it's crazy because no, like, you're not, when you're in a college sport, you're not used to like giving up, which is not what it would have been anyways.
Yes.
But, I think for myself, I needed to see it out. So up until really this season and, right before going into this season, I don't think it was anything I ever thought of. But, with the pressure and with just like still not being technically healed or at a point where, my muscle was equal enough, I think I got to a point where I was just like, wow, like, is this worth it? Like, am I gonna be healthy in the future if I continue this? Like, is this worth the mental aspect that I'm sacrificing?
Totally. And so I was just wondering, Like, what advice would you give to athletes going into college sports, being that, again, you've had all these different experiences and all these different hurdles? And I guess, like, along with this could be, like, almost like, what advice would you give to your freshman college self that, like, you know now but didn't know then?
I think there's a lot I could tell freshman year me. One, something that really, really helped me that I would absolutely tell my freshman self is just that everyone has a highlight reel in their own head of the mistakes that they're making on the field. It's not something that everyone's just sitting there thinking about yours. No, because you're thinking about yours. So what do you think the person next to you doing?
They're also thinking about their own. Yeah, their own.
So I think it was just something that really, really helped me. Something else is that leave it on the field. And it's so much easier said than done. But, you know, when you leave your, like, athletic center, leave it there. If when you go home, like, try and keep the things that you talk about with your roommates, try and keep it positive. Don't rehash everything that has happened all day when you've already lived through it. I think once, you know, you were able to set that aside, I think that was a big thing. Get help, therapy, sports psychologist, really anything. I think it's hard because it's, you know, nobody wants to go to their coaches, which is fine. But find someone you feel comfortable with, whether that's in the athletic department, it's like, you know, a strength and conditioning coach, a sports trainer, someone who, facilities, anyone who can help you get out to someone else. Like, I think that is so important. And then I think it's so crazy too, but just, you know, take a deep breath. It's not as serious as you think it is. And I think that's, like, the hardest thing, especially in your younger years, to remember, just that, you know, like, all of this stuff, like, it's, you know, on the day-to-day, it's all we're talking about, it's all we're doing, everything rides on this practice, this game, blah, blah, blah. No, your future will be okay. That's what matters, you know, like, you need to look forward, like, for your future self, especially with, like, injury and how you're, like, handling that, you know, like, now on the opposite side of it, like, you know, my body is in the future gonna feel the effects of two ACLs, and I've thanked our, like, head athletic trainer so many times about the fact that, you know, it might have been not easy accepting the way, you know, we handled my second ACL, but at the end of the day, I ended my last season healthy, and, you know, at the end of the day, that's what matters. And I would say my last thing is, being in a good teammate is more important any day than being the best player in the field. I think I've realized, like, how, like, my positivity and, like, helping the people around me, like, helped them, which in turn helped me feel, like, seen and desired in a way on the team that I don't think I would have felt freshman year when I wasn't necessarily tapping into that part of myself. And I honestly think that that is, like just such a big aspect of it.
Those are some amazing pieces of advice. I mean, obviously, I totally agree upon, just from my 1 year of experience, obviously, at DePaul. But again, I feel like just even going back to, like, just taking a deep breath, because, I mean, I feel like both of us, our freshman year, were obviously, like, so caught up in the fact that you're trying to juggle everything at once, whether that's academics, athletics, your social life, your family life, like, if you have a religion, like, it's everything, like, all at once. And when you're going from, like, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night, and then it's just, like, Groundhog Day every day, and you're repeating over and over again, to some extent, like, realizing that specifically, like, athletics are not the, like, end-all be-all. Because I feel like, at least for myself, I'm the same with you, that I was very much caught up in the fact that I was trying so hard that it was honestly hurting me. Like, I was going so much at, like, once towards something that then, like, I would never have a break, and it just felt like it completely tires you out. And I feel like a lot of freshmen, sophomores, specifically being those, like, your first 2 years, really do have that struggle. Because, again, you're trying to make a, like, name for yourself. You're trying to find a spot on that field.
all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think like reminding yourself that, you know, like you're enough. You were recruited here for a reason. And I think it's hard to see that reason when, you know, maybe you're not getting the playing time you think you deserve or something like that. But at the end of the day, like you are there for a reason. And if, you know, you can't see that, you can like allow yourself to see that, and you can reach out in different ways that are like just playing time. And I think that has been like the most important driving factor.
Totally. I mean, in your case, like literally, I feel like also in my case, like I went in thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna play softball. Obviously, I ended up getting injured my freshman year. Just in that case, like even if maybe you have a reason to be there that isn't necessarily even being on the field. It can be just in the dugout, being that good team, like being like on the sidelines. It's not necessarily what you would envision when you're like, oh yeah, I'm going into college athletics. But I think it's something that's so honestly like underrated.
You're earning more, yeah, you're earning, I think, more respect than you think you're earning. This year, actually, we did an activity that was really interesting, and I would very much, you know, if I was a coach one day, which I don't plan to be, it would be something I would implement on a team. We went around and did like one good thing on every single person's sheet. And I remember like thinking when I got to mine, like, wow, how amazing that all of these people are just telling me how good of a person, how good of a teammate, how hard I work, versus, you know, like your long balls across the field are wonderful. Like, once I get out of here, that's not gonna matter.
Totally.
And I think like that's just one of the biggest things, like just like being a good person, like it carries you way further with your teammates. With your coaches, I think too, even like, you know, they respect you more when you're someone who, you know, is positive. Not that you can't have bad days, but it's just there to, you know, make other people better and, you know, be a good friend.
Totally. I feel like a lot of times, just when I was struggling, I was trying to like cling on to and reach out to like those teammates that were so supportive, and just willing to like help and obviously
You get through.
like, yeah, I get through it. Well, I think like just the advice to like be a good teammate is again like so underrated, because it goes way further. And again, yeah, in 5 years you're not gonna look back and be like, oh shoot, I didn't score that goal or whatever, I didn't hit the ball. It's like, how was I when I wasn't on that field? Or when I was on the field, how was I to my teammates? Definitely.
Even then, like when you're in your future job, you're working in a team and you're like, you know, giving that positive reinforcement, being encouraging, you know, versus someone whose competitive energy might have taken them completely out of that space in someone's mind. I think, you know, like it definitely snowballs further into life.
No, it really does. I mean,
Than
it goes into every aspect of your life, whether that's like relationships, friendships, really anything, honestly. And again, I feel like, honestly, I feel like the media, like as like part of the media, I feel like we should do a better job of getting like those type of stories out there. Like, yes, like we all know about like the best athlete, but it's like, what about the best teammate? And I feel like there could be more stories out there in the media focusing on the best team player, the best, like, because again, I feel like it's just, it goes like, it goes hidden and no one really knows about it. But when you're in that environment, it is so vital to have people around you like that in order to succeed, especially going through the struggles and the challenges that, like, you've based, as well as many other athletes in the world. And so I was just wondering, how has this experience influenced your approach to sports and mental health moving forward?
I think this experience definitely, you know, impacted the way that I think I, you know, I handle, I cope with my mental health. I think my approach to sports is more that, like, I don't really want to be in a competitive environment. But when it comes to mental health, I think, like, it is hard at first when you're in a space where you know you need to reach out to someone. And I think, like, knowing that I did it and that it was so like positively affecting me was something that I definitely carried forward into this year after I had stopped using the sports psychologist, and you know, this season was really, really tough. And I was sitting there and I was like, you know, like I need to reach out to someone again. And I think it was a lot easier for me to do it this time, knowing that, you know, like I did it last time and it was really helpful. And so I think like it's important that people just obviously understand, like, you know, ways to reach out and to do things that help you disassociate from the things that you're stressed about. Whether that's picking up a book, going on a walk, like you need to be able to do things that, you know, like fill your cup before you can, you know, drain it sometimes. And I think like that was just like really, really important for, you know, learning how to cope with this stuff in the future.
This is like backtracking a little bit, but like, what did you do to like fill your cup?
I think freshman year, especially, I started doing yoga every night. I'd had like a stress release yoga routine thing, and I'd put on my little diffuser. And honestly, that was really helpful because I used to be really, really stressed going to bed, knowing that I would wake up and I'd have practice. It was like all I could think about. This year, I think something that was important was just like spending time away from just everything. I think, you know, alone time is good to an extent. Don't self-isolate yourself, but also like recognize that there are people who don't want to be surrounded by all of it all the time. And those are the people you want to find. The people who, you know, outside of it don't sit there and, you know, focus on what happened in practice, all of that stuff. And I do think that like having friends outside of your sport is so, so important. I mean, our friendship freshman year was, you know, our saving grace.
Literally our saving grace.
It's something you should carry. Like having a non-athlete friend, like having someone who's not in your sport or just not in sports, someone who you can, you know, sit and talk to, someone to call from home. I think all of that really, really filled my cup.
That's awesome. I feel like also Luna's another thing that helped you fill your cup.
Yep, cats, dog walking. I will admit, dog walking you really did helped love this dog, year. I yes. would find the time to walk these two dogs every week, two times. Just like little normal things where you're like, wait, I'm a normal person in college. I'm not a student athlete all the time. Like right now I'm just Jenna. I'm just me. I'm just walking dogs, walking to the lake and back, like stuff like that is so important.
Which I think is like honestly so crazy how often you just like you forget you're not like you forget the student and the student athlete. Like you forget like the human behind the athlete. Like you're so like again, like when you reach that level, really when you reach like any like higher level of anything, it's like obviously like you have a very strong work ethic, like you keep going, you keep pushing yourself, but it's like when you get to that like college environment specifically, like it's definitely a challenge to find that balance between just being you and like obviously transitioning into that like athlete mindset. But like when you don't switch out of the athlete mindset, I feel like at least for myself, and I feel like for a few others, like that's kind of where like obviously your mental health starts to decline.
Yeah, and I think those are also the people who, you know, once they end sports have the hardest time with like their identity, because I think you know, being at school, you're a student athlete, like that is your identity on campus, like that is all you are. And I think remembering like, you know, like no, that's not everything, like, you know, you're your own person. Yes, you might be a student who's on a team, but that doesn't necessarily mean like this sport is like all you are.
Yeah, I feel like I was definitely that person that when like I transferred to BU, I was like, who am I? I was like, literally, what do I know outside of softball? Like I've never felt so lost in my entire life, which obviously that affected, again, my mental health in a very different way. But yeah, it's just trying to find that balance. And I feel like again, like going back to freshman year, I wish that I did more of what you did in finding, just trying to find like yourself in the midst of it all, because it definitely gets crazy and it's obviously very, very time consuming. But is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience about your journey and like just like the lessons that you've learned?
I think something that, you know, we're always told is that there's really low lows and there's really high highs, but like always remember that like the low lows are never like forever. I think like kind of like the same thing where it's like when you're in, everything is just everything all the time. Like you're so focused on sports all the time, that, you know, like just to remind yourself that like, yes, like this is really important right now, but you know, it gets better. It'll always get better, even if it doesn't feel like it will, like it'll always get better.
That's so true. And obviously so exciting being that you're going into student teaching and then eventually teaching. But like that's so exciting, and like I feel like again, like just remembering that there's like a path, like there's always a different path outside of athletics that like you will find. Like again, like you can use me as an example. Like obviously I feel like it took me a lot longer than it probably takes some. But like just know you'll find it and like to keep going. But just to like wrap it all up, Jenna, I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your journey. Your resilience like not only deserves admiration, but just also serves as such like a powerful reminder to like not overlook the human behind the athlete.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And then just like as a reminder for all, if you or an athlete you know is struggling with a mental health challenge, help is always within reach. And just like, again, it's okay not to be okay. Feel free to explore additional resources and inspiring stories on my website. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes as we will be continuing to explore the intersection of mental health and sports in hopes of shattering the silence.